Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I figured y'all might like that.
I love it. Fellas, what is going on, America? How you guys doing? Of course, we are officially talking sports with the 12th man, kicking off this second part of November, and this is how we do it. But I'm Andre Peterson, joined by two guys I would love to share the field with, as always. Let's kind of introduce the crew. First and foremost, my man, JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. Sitting here watching a little Monday Night Football, ready to talk some sports with you fellas.
That's what's up. And, of course, without further ado, you know, JQ is obviously riding a little high because his team is 8-0. Me and Rob, you know, we had a little rough weekend, but that's okay. So I got to check in with my other host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Yeah, still trying to get over the depression of seeing LSU and the
Saints. Oh, man.
And the Pelicans and Tulane lose. But, you know, hey, life goes on. We got to keep moving.
You know, yeah, I'm just happy that, Rob, you're not
too close. I'm actually in you guys' fair city tonight, too.
Oh, man. It's always a pleasure to have you, man. You know, like I said, Rob, this is what it's all about, man. We can kind of be here. We can kind of console each other, sir, man, because that's what it's all about, man. But, you know, it's a rough weekend. But, hey, that's what we're here for. As always. But everyone, if you want to call on the show, let's kind of throw out some numbers and how we normally do. If you want to call on the show, share your thoughts. 424-243-9519. That is the number. We're also in the Twitter world. If you go to the number, if you go to 12 Man Sports, that's our hashtag. And then finally, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12Man Sports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with 12 Man, you will find us in that format as well. So let's kind of kick it off. We got a lot of things to discuss. And first and foremost, this is kind of one of those weird topics right off the gate. You know, Talib, man, come on, man. He gets suspended for poking Dwayne Allen in the eye. Kind of pulling off some old wrestling moves. And I know we have John Cena as our intro. But man, I don't even know how to talk about this. Rob, what would you say if somebody, you know, eye pokes you? I don't even know how to start this, man. He gets suspended, man. What's up with that?
Hey, you know, it was one of those brain fart moments for to leave here. You know, one of the most important players of that defense there. You know, for the most part, other than this past weekend, you know, that Denver Broncos defense, you can arguably say has been the best in the league. You know, maybe you can put them right up there with Carolina and New England's defense so far this year. So that's a big blow. You know, I'm sure they can probably overcome the loss for one game. But still, you know, that's just one of those brain farts, dumb, stupid, whatever you want to call it, moments by Talib. And he's going to cost his team by having him out for this one game coming this weekend.
Not a good decision, JQ, right?
Yeah, and then he tried to defend it and said, oh, I was trying to push him and then my hand slipped. If you clearly watch the replay, you know, he went directly above into the face mask with his two fingers. He pulled out an old Three Stooges move. Like, woo, 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 woo. You know, like, I don't understand what he was thinking about. But, I mean, you got to give Dwayne Allen a lot of credit for selling it because he went down like he was shot with a 12-gauge. But I don't understand what you're thinking about. I mean, I don't know if something happened earlier in the game where they were going back and forth that we just didn't catch on the camera. But, you know, dude, just say I lost my head. And, you know, I'll take what the league gives me and move on. But don't come and tell me, you know, you meant to push him and your hand slipped and rose up and your two fingers happened to extend into his eyeballs. I mean, that – come on, Aquib. I mean, he's a knucklehead, and he's been trying to, you know, change from what he's done in the past. You got to remember, he's had some past incidents where you were like, and he's been suspended for, but he's kind of walked a straight and narrow here lately. But his bad behavior reared his ugly head again, and he should be glad he only got one game because that was pretty blatant. That was just dumb.
That's my quarterback, man. That's my quarterback, man. He's talking about Palou.
Yeah, he was tripping.
The Broncos host the Chiefs this weekend. I think they'll still get by and beat the Chiefs at home without them. But, you know, still it's a bonehead moment.
Definitely a bonehead moment, to say the least, too, man. Just that's I love it, JQ. A little Three Stooges move, man. That's insane, man.
That was a nice sound effect, too.
Oh, man. Let's keep moving, guys. Teddy Bridgewater and the Vikings have been surprisingly making some moves here. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, he's got a little concussion, but apparently it's not going to keep him from playing. And talk about this, Rob. I mean, I don't know if he's gone through the concussion protocol, but apparently it's not going to keep him out. So what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, based on Vikings' early returns, Mike Zimmer, his press conference today, says looks like they're going to be fine and it's going to get cleared. Bridgewater is going to get cleared to play. I'm saying Clearwater. I'm trying to say clear and Bridgewater. But
we got you.
Bridgewater is going to be cleared to play this coming Sunday. And hopefully so if you're the Vikings fan, because Sean Hill, if you've seen any of that game yesterday, he was pathetic. The Vikings still was able to pull that game out 21-18. And you know, somewhat surprising. Yeah, I think all of us picked the Rams to win last week. I can't recall. But, they pulled it out. And, I guess you have to start taking this Vikings team for real. They're 6-2. But they clearly could use Bridgewater. Like I said, Sean Hill in relief yesterday was pretty pathetic. But the Vikings were still able to pull out that game. So, according to early reports, Zimmer is saying that Bridgewater will be cleared to play.
Yeah, man, they barely pulled it out by the hair of their chin. What are your thoughts about this, JQ?
Yeah, that was pretty bad because if you saw the replay, he was asleep. Like, he got knocked out because he was on the ground just completely knocked out cold. And that was a pretty, I know he slid a little late, but, I mean, that was pretty borderline. And they talked about it, Jeff Fisher and the D.C., Rob's old D.C., have some history with a little dirty play. So I hate that that happened because you got the Vikings, he was bound to gate. But you got the Vikings playing good ball, actually tied with Green Bay for the first place in the NFC North. So that's a huge blow if he couldn't come back. And I think you got to slow down a little bit because I think the concussion protocol takes a couple of days during the course of the week to be fully cleared. So I'm going to hold off on whether or not he's going to play. But they know better than we do from talking to him that he probably should be able to play. I would love to see him play because the Vikings are playing really good ball. The defense is pretty good. Anytime you can put Adrian Peterson out there, and then, Stephon Diggs taking that leap forward a little bit, they're going to be a force to reckon with in that NFC. So hopefully he comes back and can play and continue to push Green Bay to make that division a little bit more exciting than we thought it was going to be a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it's be smart. I mean, even though they're clearing him to play, I would sit him a week. I mean, especially the way it looked. And, these concussions, when they come back too soon, you're really prone to get another one really quickly. And
But you call
you're sitting
Hill
at 6-2. And, yeah, he did. But, you got to think about the long term. You got to think about the future of your franchise, too. If this guy is clearly your franchise quarterback, if he is that, then you want to protect him, too. And Sean Hill was awful.
That's what made it like, you got to come back. You got to come back.
The Vikings are tied with the Packers now, 6-2 in that division. And obviously, you're right in the thick of things. I still think the Packers will win the division, but, the Vikings keep going at this rate. They should at least be a wild card.
Yeah, good call. JQ, give us a quick update on Monday Night Football, sir.
All right, San Diego had a bad penalty where he hit Gates for a touchdown, but they called it back, so they had to settle for a field goal. It's 19-14, San Diego over Chicago. Chicago is getting ready to get the ball coming out of commercial break.
Anything, Rob, you want to add to that, sir?
I think he did a good job.
Good job, sir. So the Patriots lose Deion Lewis for the season with a torn ACL. And I don't know about you guys, but this – I know we've had certain seasons, but this seems to be a lot of guys are going down with some torn ACLs and a lot of key movements. Now, you know, I'm not crying too much for the Patriots because, you know, they're going to get it locked and loaded. They're going to find somebody to kind of replace them. But this is a tough blow, you think, for the Patriots. They're kind of doing things. And, Rob, what are your thoughts about this one, sir?
I tell you what, you say that about the Patriots. They seem to have the best plug-and-play system of any team I've ever seen, especially under Bill Belichick. You know, they let guys go, guys get hurt, they put somebody else in, and they seem to get the same results. Obviously, Deion Lewis was showing some very good versatility for this team, both running and catching the ball out of the backfield. But as you mentioned, I'm sure they have somebody in the pipeline or somebody they're going to sign off the street that's going to come in and do the exact same thing for them. But on the surface, it looks like a big blow for the Patriots and the offense. LeGarrette Blount has been running the ball pretty good the last few weeks. He's been looking phenomenal. Obviously, Blount is not the versatile back that Lewis is, so we'll see who can come in and give them that versatility.
JQ.
So, yeah, two names off the bat. James White, the youngster out of Wisconsin, I hear is in line to take some of his reps, but also Brandon Bolden. I believe he's is he an LSU Tiger? It's also
Ole Miss.
The mix Ole Miss, okay, Ole Miss. He's also in the mix for that as well. So, like you said, they have the best system. I hate to say that, but they do. The guys understand their roles. They're ready, you know, when their number is called because these things happen. And to your point, Andre, it's been a crazy year for this, and it was a non-contact injury on top of it. But when you have Tom Brady and Gronkowski and Edelman and LeGarrette Blount, those are going to be your core guys, and then they're going to bring those other two guys in I just mentioned to kind of split the reps what Deion Lewis was doing. They can't be exactly him, but they got Brandon LaFell back as well. So I think the Patriots really won't miss a beat. I just hate it for him personally, you know, because he was having a really good year, and he was on my fantasy team.
Nice little plug there too, JQ. Yeah, man. He's on one of my fantasy teams too, man. So I'm feeling the pain too, man. So we'll talk about some strategy after this too. But yeah, Rob, good call. You mentioned it. And somebody said this too earlier, guys, in that the Patriots, I don't know if this is true, one of the main teams that play all 53 of their players, man. So everyone has a role. If that's the case, like you said, Rob, I mean, Belichick, I mean, you've got that thing cooking that everybody has a role. It is plug and play, and you know, it's a tough thing, but they don't necessarily really miss a beat from what it seems like from my vantage point, man. So, you know, we're not crying for them, clearly, because they're 8-0. But,
right.
You know, it's going to – yeah, we'll see how that plays out for sure. It does, like you said, JQ, does hurt for Deion Lewis as well, too. All right, guys, let's kind of keep it moving here. The Rams – didn't know they are expected to sign a veteran wide receiver, Wes Welker. Not surprised. Yeah, they did sign him, excuse me. And this is one of the situations too, you know, I don't know if there's a, you know, animosity with the aforementioned Patriots here, because you think you go back there, but how do you think this is going to affect their offense? I'm going to start off with you, JQ. Do you think this is a good move for the Rams? Is it kind of somebody to help mentor maybe a Tavon Austin, or this is kind of a, you know, they're kind of like figuring out something we don't know?
I think it's really almost comparable to the Broncos trading for Vernon Davis. It's one of those low-risk, potentially high-reward moves if he has anything left in the tank. I mean, he was sitting on the street, but if you look at that Rams offense outside of Todd Gurley, they don't really have a whole lot cooking. Austin is still learning. Kenny Britt really hasn't been a whole lot since, you know, maybe his Tennessee days. So for them, you know, you take a flyer on Wes Welker, and he's going to be a good veteran mentor, especially like you said, to Tavon Austin working that slot position. But if you can get him out there and he has some things to prove because he feels like he should have been signed already this year, then, you know, it's a great move. But if it doesn't work out, I mean, they weren't setting the world on fire offensively anyway. So, you know, for them it's a good move. I don't think it upsets their apple cart by any stretch of the imagination, because he's not pushing anybody out of the way. They really haven't been doing a whole lot in the passing game, period. So I like it for him. It may work out. And if not, you just move on.
Nice. What do you think about this one, Rob?
Well, as JQ mentioned, I think they have nothing to lose by, you know, going out and trying to improve their offense. If you look on the surface, this Rams defense has been really good this season. Have one of the best front sevens and a solid secondary as well. You can say what you want about Greg Williams, but a guy knows how to coach defense. And they've been doing a phenomenal job this season with their defense. And obviously, you know, they can use another weapon or two in offense. Todd Gurley has been phenomenal. You can arguably say in the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been one of the best-looking running backs in the league. So they can get something going on the perimeter to go with Tavon Austin. I know they're both two little receivers, but they can get something going there. It can only help their offense. Nick Foles has got to improve, too. He was pretty bad yesterday.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Good call, man. I think they're a couple of players away, guys, but they got the defense. If they get kind of a big physical kind of possession-type receiver or even like a dynamic receiver, man, that could be a pretty dangerous – I mean, they're dangerous, but, you know, they're kind of loading the box right now. They're kind of definitely challenging Nick Foles to kind of beat him, man. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on for sure, man. This is interesting, guys. Steelers, they lose Ben Roethlisberger. I'm sure that JQ is not crying at all about this.
Nope.
Is Landry Jones the answer? I mean, you know, sometimes you want to beat a team whenever they're the best. I mean, you don't want to wish any injuries because I don't want to talk junk, man. Like if something happened to, you know, Drew Brees, I don't want Saints fans like, oh, but you know, you want to play the team at their best. But right now, you know, and the Raiders, man, those guys are looking fantastic. You know, they kind of injured Ben Roethlisberger late in the game. But the question is, guys, can the Steelers survive another Ben Roethlisberger injury? How does this kind of affect his career? I'm going to start off with you, Rob. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, I don't think they can survive another Ben Roethlisberger injury. They're going to lose out on for another 2 weeks here. And you're already without Le'Veon Bell. Although D'Angelo Williams had a heck of a game yesterday. For the Steelers, I just can't see them continue to have great success with Landry Jones at quarterback. I mean, at best, I think they should hope for 500 in the next couple of weeks when Roethlisberger is out. But, you know, they're already behind the eight ball in the division. And now trying to get a wild card with your quarterback hurt is going to be tough, too. So it's going to be hard for them to recover from this.
JQ, should they throw in the towel like Rob's talking about, man, or are they going to somehow pull this out?
I'm gonna take it to the other side of the equation. If you look at the AFC, Cincinnati probably has that division one. I think the Patriots have their division one. You look at the AFC South, it's probably going to be Indianapolis. And then you look out West, it's probably going to be Denver. So you're looking at the wild cards. They just won a very important game in terms of the tiebreaker by beating Oakland. You got the Jets, I think, is going to get a wild card. But then you got that Buffalo, Miami, Pittsburgh, Oakland sitting there for that other one. They play Cleveland next week. I think they can win with you, Rob, playing quarterback against Cleveland. So I'm gonna give them that.
Oh man,
I'm gonna give them that win.
Super Bowl if I was the quarterback.
I'm gonna give them that win against Cleveland, and then they got the bye week. So if you say 2 weeks, you know he could be potentially back for the Seattle game, but it's at Seattle. Even with Roethlisberger, I think they lose at Seattle. So I'm gonna put them at 1-1, and then 4 weeks out, that puts them at home at 8:30 against Indianapolis, where you might get them back. And Indianapolis has been okay. They played better against Denver yesterday, but they haven't really been setting the world on fire either. So I think they can survive this. If they can go, like you said, go 500, go 1-1 with the bye week sandwich between it, and then get him back for that Indianapolis game, then they have that stretch of Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Denver, Baltimore, where they can make some hay. I still think they can get in that first or second wild card spot. So I'm not ready to throw the talent on them yet, only because they have Cleveland and a bye week. So that's almost like having two bye weeks in a row.
Wow. So with apologies, America, to Robert Ford talking about he's ready to lead in the next Super Bowl. So
the Bengals are lucky I'm not the Steelers quarterback.
Hey, hold on, player. Hold on, player.
Rob's been hanging out in Denver, guys. We'll have to come back around to him. So we'll keep it moving.
Smoke weed every day.
He's had a rough weekend, man. I'm going to give him a break. He had a rough weekend. I'm going to let him
talk about it. He's definitely had a rough weekend. He's feeling a little hot. I love it, man. We ain't mad at you, Rob. It's all good, bro. All right. This is a pretty big move here. We got about 10 minutes, guys, left. And firsthand, this is interesting. So you saw this firsthand, JQ. Johnny Manziel, should the Browns turn to him permanently?
I will have to kind of leave this off really quickly. I was impressed with, you know, Manziel's play. He wasn't as erratic. You know, he played a good game, just, you know, ran into a better defense. But he didn't – I was pretty proud of his performance. And I guess the question is, did he do enough to kind of get that job, or is it kind of one of the situations where, yeah, no. So go ahead, JQ.
I think at this point you have nothing else to lose. You know what you have in Josh McCown. And the point that you're not no longer contending for a playoff spot, why not turn it over to Johnny Manziel? The problem, I think, is the coaches. If you watch that halftime interview, he got mad at Johnny for breaking out the pocket. And I'm listening to that interview like, what are you talking about? That's when he made his best plays and kept Cleveland in that ball game, when he was able to get outside the pocket, improvise, extend the play. And that's how they hit their biggest pass plays in that game. When the Bengals decided, oh, yeah, we're playing Johnny Manziel, maybe we should not rush all wild and just must rush and keep him in the pocket in the second half is when he struggled. So I think they have to, and I think that's a problem with the NFL right now, with your RG3, with your Kaepernick. They draft these guys who are scramblers, who have the option to, you know, make plays with their legs, but they want to turn them into something they're not. You got to let Johnny be Johnny. And like I said, when you're already in a losing season, find out if you have a quarterback in. And if you don't, then you have to make plans in this draft to get another quarterback. But if you put McCown back in when he's healthy, then you don't really know what you have in Johnny. And then what do you do at the end of the year? So I think they should. I don't think they have anything to lose. But you know how coaches are. They're trying to save their jobs, and they don't want to turn it over to a project. But for the Browns organization, I think they should let Johnny be the quarterback and see what they have.
Rob, what's your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, you know, Johnny Bitty Ball, as I call him. And here, going back to a few years ago when we did our draft coverage on this show, I said he would be a first-round pick, but I didn't think he was an NFL quarterback. But that being said, the Browns did draft him in the first round, so I think they have to see what they have in him as a football player. So I totally agree they should turn over the reins to Manziel and see what he can do, to see if he can prove me wrong and see if he can, you know, be a quarterback here in the NFL. And I think the Browns have to give them every opportunity to be the quarterback since they spent the first-round pick on him. You know, I think they should definitely try to evaluate him for the rest of the season as a starting quarterback to see what they have at the position and see if they need to move on and get someone else to come in and be that quarterback going forward. And I totally agree with JQ. Even going back to Manziel's college days, you know, he was most successful outside of the pocket. You know, I know from watching LSU play him in college, and LSU had some of the most success against Manziel in college. And LSU kept him inside the pocket, and, you know, they were able to destroy him in college, and that's when he's least effective. And if you look at that game, he was more effective in the first half. And I think the second half, he was like 4 out of 20. You know, his passing stats here. Yes, his passing stats in the second half were very erratic, and very awful. And so if you can contain him in the pocket, he's not going to be that effective. But if you can get him out of the pocket, he can be effective. So, going back to his college days, that's all you had to do was keep him inside the pocket. And that's the main reason why I think he would be successful in the NFL. But that being said, Cleveland's got to give him a chance.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys, man. It's tough, man, because you got to see what you got, man, real quickly. So don't crush this guy. I think he actually, surprisingly, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be the next coming, but just see what you got, man. See if he's got something in the future. All right, guys, 6 minutes. Let's do a quick NFL prediction, the Patriots at the Giants. I am going to go ahead and start with you, JQ. What do you think about this this option, this game, sir?
Oh, easy. It's going to be the Patriots. The Giants don't have the pass rush to get to Tom Brady yet. I mean, JPP is trying to get back, but they're not yet there yet, Patriots.
Rob?
Yeah, the Giants defense as a whole is pretty weak. The front seven, really the entire 11 on the defense is pretty weak. They can't stop the run. Their secondary is pretty awful as well. They can't stop the pass. I say the Patriots score over 30-some points in this game and beat the Giants by at least 10.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, Rob, let's go ahead and kick it off. We got the fantasy shout-outs. Go ahead and do that, sir, if you don't mind, and we'll get right set up for the OT portion. We got about 5 minutes or so, so I'll let you do the fantasy shout-outs for sure.
All right, real quick, fantasy shout-outs. Actually, we're going to go over last week's stats since we're still in the middle of a Monday night game and this week is not officially over yet, so we'll go over last week's. And league number one, my co-host, Straight Cash Homie, Andre, has the biggest win of the week, 206.38 points on the board over Eagles Chick for Life. She scored 95.4. Oh, man, you didn't have to whip her that bad, man. You're supposed to go easy on women, Andre. Come on.
So I had to go ahead and regulate, man. Come on.
She was talking trash on you? All right, all right.
She was, man. She was, man. Yeah, one time.
the Bristol Bombers still in first place. Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut at 8-0. Still in first place. It sounds like a broken record with him.
Man.
In league number two, turned down Chester from New Orleans with a 241 on the board over Kid Kev 23. To his 112.70. Yours truly, Dome Patrol, is still in first place at 7-1. Turned down for 241 on the board last week, man. And league number three, winning, Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut. He's also in first place in the league. He had the biggest win over my other co-host, Ohio Players. Oh, man, 153.66 to Ohio Players, 68.8. Ball is not bad for Ohio Players. He had the best week in fantasy basketball. He beat he beat somebody 8-0. The champ is here.
Yeah, sure did.
He had the biggest win in fantasy basketball. Ohio's Players 8-0 over the champ is here. So he bounced back in fantasy basketball with an 8-0 win. Anthony Davis, the new number 23. Is in first place in fantasy basketball. No, I'm sorry, Saints Pelicans 23 from New Orleans is in first place so far in fantasy basketball. So there you have it for the fantasy shout-outs.
JQ, do you want to add anything to plead your case about this, sir?
Oh, no, that one, I'm getting robbed in that league. It's over. It's just play JQ and just, you know, get a victory. That's just where it is right now. But I love the 8-0. I'm figuring it out in the basketball, so you just ain't going to steamroll me.
Hey, won every category over the champ is here.
Oh, man. He was like,
helps when you set your lineup every day.
Yes, it does.
Oh, man. You live and you learn. All right, fellas, we are getting ready. We got 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Rob, I'll let you have your moment for the OT portion. So as we get ready to get prepared for that.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you all tuning in. I appreciate our fantasy players as well, and continue to tune into the show. We'll be back on Tuesday night of next week. We're going to give JQ his night. His Cincinnati Bengals are going to be playing on Monday night next week, so we're going to go to Tuesday night next week. We'll be at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central for our friends. In the Mountain Time Zone, that'll be 9 p.m. in Los Angeles, 8 p.m. So definitely tune in to our live show on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't get this to you live, but we're still talking some college football, got a little college basketball, a little NBA too. So you want to click on the same link on tomorrow, tune into our OT portion, and let us know what you think about our OT portion of the show. Good night, people.
JQ, any last words, sir?
Oh, I get my man Barrett. I get my man JT Barrett back. I love you, Cardell Jones. It's time to go take a seat. And as always, stay classy, San Diego. Appreciate everybody for logging in and tuning in and listening to us.
Awesomeness, yeah. My thing, like I always wrap us up, I got to move for every move you make. Woo!
We'll get that going, too.
We got a great OT portion, as my co-host first talked about. We are excited about that. We're going to keep it moving here. We're going to talk about some college stuff, some college basketball. We are going to kind of wrap up some college football predictions, if you will. So definitely tune in. We may get some Major League Baseball in there just as well, if we can put that in there, too. But once again, America, thank you for tuning in. We are here. Good night, people. All right. As we are getting ready to make this transition here, and if you didn't know, the Missouri president, Tom Wolf, resigns. Rob, can you kind of give us some quick overview as far as kind of what happened and what's kind of going on right now with this particular situation for Missouri?
Well, I tell you what, this was a very powerful scene by the African American football players at the University of Missouri. Now, obviously, football and the SEC is, you know, if not the number one major revenue to a university, it's close to being number one if it isn't the number one. And they took a huge stand. A lot of racism on that campus, a lot of racial slurs on that campus, and the university president was doing nothing about it. And so the players took a stand for the entire African-American community on that campus. And obviously this was a powerful move. And like I said, football is a powerful tool for these universities, especially in the SEC, and they use it to their advantage. And I think this was a very, very powerful move and a gutsy move, and I like the move.
JQ, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll, along with the racial slurs, I also read where they spread feces in the swastika symbol in a bathroom wall. I mean, it's just deplorable what's happening in Missouri. And I applaud the football team for taking the stand and the coach for having their back and not throwing them under the bus. But it really saddens me that it took, like Rob said, the revenue-earning team for him to step down when they had been calling for him to take action against all of these racial incidents that happened on campus. But it took the football team to go on strike for him to step down. I'm proud of those guys, and it shows that you don't have to necessarily riot and be crazy and do other things like that. You can have peaceful protests and get your point across, because money a lot of times is king. And if you can stop that buck and stop that that money train from coming in, you can affect change. So I hope, you know, a lot of other African Americans around the country took notice of them making that statement and what kind of change they can affect by doing it in a positive manner versus not always doing it in a negative manner. But again, it still saddens me that it took that for him to step down, given everything that led up to it, where it would have been easy if all he had to do was address it to take his, you know, his student population's best interest at heart. He just kind of tried to sweep under the rug. So shout out to the football team and the coach for taking a stand and affecting change in Missouri.
Gotcha. Good calls, man. Good calls, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. And I'm not going to comment on that. It's kind of a powerful issue, to say the least, guys. I know we're going to get through a couple more topics here for sure. Let's talk about this. Can a Big 12 team finish undefeated, or will everyone lose at the end once kind of that brutal schedule is going to come up? Rob, this is on you, sir. What do you think about this?
I think it's going to be tough for a team to go undefeated in the Big 12. Obviously, Baylor and Oklahoma State are the only two that left. Now is undefeated. I know we're going to get into predictions here, but I'm going to go ahead and let it out. I think Oklahoma goes on the road and beat Baylor. I know Andre would never pick Bob Stoops in a big game, but we'll talk about that later. But you know, I think even though Baylor's at home, I think the freshman quarterback catches up with them, and I think Oklahoma's going to knock them off the boat. And I think that somehow Oklahoma State still has to go against Oklahoma as well. They still got Baylor on the schedule, so I see them slipping up at some point, two down the road. So I'm going to say it's going to be kind of tough. And I think that's the only way a Big 12 team will get to the Final Four, is that one of them is going to have to be undefeated, and I just don't see it happen.
That's a tough call. JQ, what are your thoughts, man? Is Rob on point?
He's absolutely on point. And I think the only team left there that could probably do it is Oklahoma State. They looked really good against TCU, forcing Borkin, I think, into three or four interceptions in that game. But that gauntlet that they have to run if they set that schedule up, you got Oklahoma State having Bedlam against Oklahoma, and Oklahoma may be playing better than anybody in that group right now.
Right now, yeah.
I think they're going to have So I agree with Rob. I think it's going to be extremely hard for that to for them to go unscathed. Baylor with the freshman quarterback still having to play Oklahoma State, and like I said, Oklahoma State having to play Oklahoma. And once you throw that rivalry in there, you can even though Oklahoma's playing fantastic, you can throw the records out of the out the window because it's just going to be a knockdown, drag out fight. So I think the Big 12 not having the championship game again is going to hurt them because they're going to all knock each other off here in this month of November, and they may miss out again.
Wow. Interesting, man. It's going to be brutal, like you said, man. We'll keep an eye on how that shakes out towards the end as well. All right. So this is pretty interesting. Suspension is over for JT Barrett. He's going to reclaim that starting spot. JQ, is this a good move? Do you think he
paid his dues? You know, is he going to be the leader again? What's kind of Urban Meyer thinking whenever he kind of executed this particular move?
Well, if you look at it as well, he didn't have to suspend him because he didn't get a felony charge, which is a mandatory 2 weeks for a misdemeanor. They could let him keep playing. But I think Urban, given some of the stuff that happened in the past in Florida that's come up in the wake of Hernandez situation, that he felt like he had to do something, and he wanted to take his seat from him, but the players on the team wanted him to stay a captain. That speaks volumes for JT Barrett. Maybe he just made a mistake. You know, he's a young guy. I've been 20. We all been 20, been in college. You know, maybe got behind the wheel we probably shouldn't have, and we may have gotten away with it where he didn't. So I'm not going to throw him too far under the bus because that happens. I'm glad he didn't have an accident and hurt anybody. But, you know, he has to forfeit some of his money next year, next summer. He, you know, that game against Minnesota was closer than it should have been because, frankly, without having Devin Smith and having a wide receiver that can stretch the field, that's more what Cardale Jones is suited to. He has that big cannon. He needs that in the arsenal. The Urban Meyer system with, you know, the Alex Smith and the Chris Leaks, where you can do that read option, is more for JT Barrett. So I think it's a no-brainer, actually. Cardale didn't do anything to take that job away from him on Saturday. He just basically made sure they kept their zero. So you get JT back in the saddle. Hopefully they should beat Illinois. You're getting back, you know, in the groove for the stretch run of Michigan State and Michigan. So it's about what I expected was to happen. Cardale would have had to have a phenomenal game to take that from Barrett, and it just didn't happen.
Gotcha. Rob, I'm sorry, I was going to kick to Rob. Go ahead, sir.
Did you hear that? Hopefully they beat Illinois. Come on, man. Come on, you know they beat Illinois. Hopefully they beat Illinois. Come on, man.
You know,
that's
got to
be a come on, man moment on ESPN.
I'll see it if JQ was going to catch that, but he really didn't. So I'm like, all right, we'll see.
Come on, man.
Conference road games always scare me. Conference road games.
Hopefully they beat Illinois.
You've had that problem with LSU. You've had that problem with LSU going to, like, Arkansas or somewhere because you know they're supposed to win. But whenever you have a conference road game, I always have to put a disclaimer on conference road games, always.
Oh, man. But we're giving him a hard time a little bit. But I agree with what he said, of course, about JT Barrett. Obviously, you know, I think we've both been kind of on the same page with this all season. He's definitely the better fit for Urban Meyer's offense. Cardale Jones, I'm about to call him Cardale Stewart. Cardale Jones. I think probably is better suited. It should have been going to a school that runs a pro-style offense. And, you know, I think it would be better suited for his skills. But in this offense, Urban Meyer's offense, definitely JT Barrett. And there's a reason why he was over Cardale Jones last season prior to the injury. He's definitely better suited to run that Urban Meyer offense. So definitely he should take over the reins.
Good calls.
And hopefully they'll beat Illinois.
You know, it was funny. I was checking out if JQ was kind of following in, but that was good calls. All right. Rob, I'm not going to let you off the hook, sir, about the it was a great – I mean, it was a tough game for LSU versus Alabama. And I just want to get your thoughts real quickly because I know we didn't have this as a topic, but I am curious about – is Leonard Fournette, man, I'm butchering names here. Is he going to be, did he kind of like mess up his Heisman chances for this? And kind of your thoughts. I mean, and I know that was they kind of had a game plan to shut him down. So what are your thoughts about that? If you can kind of go back, I'm not trying to like, you know, pile on you, but just kind of give us some quick thoughts about that. And we'll let JQ kind of answer on that as well.
Well, obviously, the game was the one in the trenches. Alabama dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, and that's just the bottom line. I didn't expect LSU to win the game as we did our predictions on last week. Obviously, I would have liked to seen LSU win, but, you know, Alabama, Nick Saban has had Les Miles' number for about 4 or 5 years in a row now. I didn't expect anything different. Alexa Miles cannot hold Nick Saban's jockstrap, unfortunately, when it comes to coaching.
Ooh.
And so it got, you know, the same thing happened again. The personnel is there for LSU, but the coaching is not there for LSU. And obviously LSU's got the most players in the NFL than any other school, but only one national championship to show for it in the last mile. So I still think they're an underachieving ball club, and they're too one-dimensional when it comes to coaching. You know, the eye formation, I mean, come on, man, they ran that in the 70s. You know, Bo Schembechler's not coaching anymore. You know, you got to come up with something new, come up with something creative. But that's the bottom line there, you know. Alabama just won the game in the trenches. And Leonard, if you watch that game, Leonard Fournette never had a chance. And so I think his coaches and his teammates lost in the Heisman. I don't think he lost the Heisman himself.
5 minutes left. JQ, go ahead and comment on this, sir.
Yeah, I won't add too much more to it. I mean, me and Rob texted, you know, throughout that game. It was in the trenches. And then as the game wore on, you could see LSU getting tired on defense and then not really giving up, so to speak. But I think Alabama just imposed their will on them in the second half. And Harris has got to do a better job. I mean, they got two good wide receivers at LSU, but Harris has got to find a way to give them that ball, especially when you got that threat of Fournette. And they were daring them to throw the ball, and they still couldn't do it. So I don't know if it was so much coaching. I think it was just a lack of execution of the talent on the field. If you can't win on the defensive line, the offensive line, and your quarterback doesn't come to play, then you really have no shot, especially against Alabama and Tuscaloosa.
Well, here's my thing when it comes down to it. You know, you see Alabama stocking eight guys in the box. You got to spread them out, you know, and LSU never made those kind of adjustments in that game. That's when coaches come in, in fact. When you see they're stacking eight men in the box, go to a spread offense, spread them out a little bit, go four wide, let Leonard Fournette run out of that formation as opposed to an I formation with eight men in the box. You got to be creative when it comes down to coaching.
Man, you know, I'm glad that Robert came out of his funk, man. I'm glad he's able to definitely add it to something. All right, gentlemen, we've got 4 minutes here to go. I'm going to kind of throw it out there. I know we definitely want to talk about, I know college basketball starts on Friday. I do want to say that for our Final Four stuff, too. You know, we had some college football predictions, too. Can I get to these really quickly here? We got about a minute to fly through this really quickly, guys. Alabama at Mississippi State. Go ahead, Rob, real quick.
I like Alabama on the road. I think Mississippi State puts up a fight, and I think Alabama wins by about 10 points.
JQ?
Agreed. Alabama.
Number 13, Memphis at number 25, Houston. Kick it off, JQ.
I'm going to go with Tyler Herman in Houston. Memphis came back a little bit to Navy. If Houston was smart and watch it, you run the ball and then play action off of it. Go Houston at home.
Rob?
I agree. I like Houston.
We already talked about 15, Oklahoma at Baylor. Robert's picking Oklahoma. Are you doing the same thing, JQ?
Absolutely. Oklahoma's rolling right now, and Baylor, that freshman quarterback, is going to catch up with him.
Can't trust Bob Stoops. Rob, go ahead. We got 2 minutes, sir. Go ahead and set this up, too, as we get her to wrap up, man. Go ahead, Rob.
Once again, you all, thank you all for tuning in again. You know, Bob Stoops, Andre will be sending you a Christmas card in the mail this year. So,
no, thank you.
You know, it's coming. You know, I know he doesn't like you, but he'll at least send you a Christmas card. It's coming. It's coming. Wait for it, Bob. Wait for it, Bob.
Oh, snap.
But
don't do
thank
that.
You all for tuning in to another great show. Jaquan, Andre, great job as usual. We'll get back on the air again on next Tuesday night. We'll be at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends on the West Coast, 5 p.m. for our friends in Hawaii. Aloha. So we'll be back on next Tuesday night. Thank you all for tuning in. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We'll still have great information all week long of what's happening in the sports world. So stay tuned.
Thank you.
Not much more to add than that. Appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening to us. Be back next week. Hopefully, I'll be in a good mood. My team will be 9-0. But if not, you know, we're still going to sit here and chop it up and have a good time. Appreciate all y'all. Have a good week.
Love
and
it.
Hopefully, America Ohio State beats Illinois.
Imagine you don't stop it.
Oh, man. Love it. Hey, America, thank you for tuning in to us. We always enjoy giving it to you. We have some fun times. Next week, we're going to talk about some NBA, talk about Kobe Bryant. Nets looking to make some trades already. The team 0-7. Man. That's what it's all about. And, guys, once again, let's keep moving here. That's what I got, man. This is Kobe's last season, JQ. Just want to tell you that, man. You know, a lot of love, man.
Oh, yeah, no,
deuces,
I know.
Okay.
It is. For the love of Christ, please.
You okay with that?
It's just one of those.
Yes, I'm okay with that. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got to be.
Good night. Good night,
well,
folks.
One of our faithful